friends. Welcome to Sky House Herbs Podcast. I'm Ashley Ellenboss, a clinical herbalist, and in this space, I share my knowledge and experience with plant medicine to help you on your own journey of healing and transformation. Join me in exploring the ancient wisdom of plant spirit medicine and how it can be used to heal the body, mind, and spirit. We'll talk to experts in the field and share stories from people who've been transformed by powerful plant allies. New episodes are released each Monday, so please subscribe. And now, let's explore this mystical world of plant medicine together. Hey everyone, welcome in. Today, as you've requested, I am going to talk about microdosing. I hope that this is going to be informational. I'm going to share some of my personal experiences, some anecdotal stories I've heard from other people, and I'm going to talk about some of the research and what we know about microdosing and what we don't know, because there's still a lot that we don't fully understand. Before we do that and dive into the information, if you wouldn't mind, take a moment, please, to click the subscribe button. That way you can stay attuned to all of the content that I create. If you click on the notifications, then you can get notifications for my new videos, which come out every Monday. And if you like the video, it's always nice to get a little like button or a comment. And that way I know you guys are out there watching and also other people can find me. So with that, thank you. And let's talk. Let's talk about microdosing mushrooms. And I just want to clarify two things. One is that I am talking about psilocybin mushrooms, mushrooms that contain psilocybin, which is an entheogenic or mind-altering substance. If this is a subject that you don't want to think about today, just stop this video. If you're in recovery if you're in recovery, this has actually been shown to maybe help. But, if you're trying to steer clear of psychedelics for a moment in time, which I totally get, then just watch another video of mine. There's a lot more content out there. The second thing I wanted to say is that this video does not replace medical advice. It does not replace regular therapy or work with people who work specifically with depression and anxiety. So if you are suffering from those things and you think microdosing might help, my suggestion would be to do microdosing alongside working with a licensed therapist or medical care provider. I want to talk first about why I chose to try microdosing, why you might be considering it, because I think that's a great place to start. So personally, I decided to try it because I was really interested in all the studies on neuroplasticity and showing how taking low doses of psilocybin can help our brains to grow new connectors or new neurons to improve cognition, and to basically help us use more of our brain and like make more connections. I think one of the things that they've shown with psilocybin in higher doses is, making more neural connections in the brain among different centers and parts of the brain. And I just feel like while I'm here on this earth, in this particular life, in this particular body, I am curious and interested in knowing more, learning more, understanding my life more, and all things that are happening more. So that neuroplasticity and cognitive enhancement, those were, I think, kind of the top two. I also was interested in the mood enhancing. So there's a lot of studies that show that taking microdosing can help improve mood and general sense of well-being. So we can think about it as like a mild euphoric that doesn't actually impair cognition, which was another thing that was really interesting to me because I got kids, I've got a job, I've got a house to manage. I've got a lot going on and I cannot be in an altered state where I can't function cognitively. So I liked the idea of being able to try something that would help my brain make new connections, but wouldn't interfere with me being able to perform daily tasks. And then the last one was, interesting. I was interested in ways I might be able to change my behavior because I feel like that's been, realizing that I remember saying this when I was a yoga teacher for many years, is that your brain is plastic. Like your brain is moldable. We can teach an old dog new tricks. Like that's actually, you can teach older people. It might take a little longer, but you can learn new things at any age. And so I was interested in changing some of my behaviors, understanding some of the reasons why I do things I do, and seeing if I could make adjustments. Other reasons, I don't personally struggle with depression, which I did for a little while when I was in high school. And I was on antidepressants for about a year because life got really hard and I couldn't manage it on my own. But thankfully, since that time, depression hasn't been something that I've had to really deal with. But I know it is for a lot of people. And there's a lot of research, which we'll talk about, but showing that it does help with depression and anxiety. And I think for me, I've never been an anxious person. But as I get older, I think it's just being a, for me, I think it's being a mom. I get worried about my kids and I get worried about things a lot more than I ever did. I think it's just part of getting more responsible, right? And like having more things to be responsible for. And so while I wouldn't say that I have any sort of anxiety disorders, I do have low grade anxiety, which in my body and mind shows up as overwhelm, where I almost get, I have so much going on that I kind of get frozen and then I don't do anything. So that's, you know, that was something I was interested in understanding more and seeing if I could change. So you might be interested in for it for all the same reasons, or there may be other reasons why, specifically depression, anxiety, mood, cognition enhancing, and neuroplasticity are some of the big ones. Now, another thing that people are probably curious about is where do you get these? Where do you find these mushrooms? And right now in Minnesota, which is where I live, they have called off, they haven't decriminalized mushrooms, but they are not seeking out people who grow mushrooms or who are using mushrooms for their own personal use. That being said, I still, you know, I'm still very cautious. I'm not going to mention any names, places, because I just want to keep myself and my community in safe standing since I am making this into a public video. So here's what I will say is that there are a lot of great ethical sources. And if you do your research online, you can find places that provide, you know, guaranteed high quality mushrooms. I would also recommend, if you have the time and space, to grow them yourself. It's really not that hard. You just need to find someone who can provide you with a growing kit. And I would recommend that you buy a kit that has all of the parts you're going to need. That way you're not trying to source everything. And, you know, again, I don't, I'm just going to leave it at do some research, find a place that sells kits. And I will say that the first time that I tried it was, I sourced it from a friend and, I had them for like 3 years in a dark sealed container. And, I'd been thinking about doing it, but you know, time and space and life just, I didn't get, you know, it didn't work out. So I actually dug them out from like my like memory box that were like, you know, again, they were 3 years old, but they were wrapped really well. They were dry. I took them out, smelled them. And then I powdered those and encapsulated them myself. So that was my first experience. I'll tell you about what that was like. And then, I will say that the second time, I'll just say that, you know, I found a very reputable source and also was able to powder and encapsulate them myself, which I like that because then I could see that they were the actual mushroom. I could compare them against pictures online, right? Because once you get a powder, you don't know. It's like hard to know exactly what that powder is. But if you have the mushroom dried, you can then see what you're getting, or if you grow them yourself, then you'll definitely be able to know if they match up because you'll be able to identify them. So the first one that I used, I don't know what strain it was, but the second one that I used more consistently was the Golden Teacher strain. And I really enjoyed that. It's considered to be one of the strains that is, or species that is best for beginners because it's very mild and gentle. It's instructive. And because I guess for me personally, I see these mushrooms as living beings. They're not, it's not just like, oh, well, it has these chemicals or it has this thing. I'm like, no, like the way that I view plants as an herbalist, it's like they each have each come in with their own personality. And I really found that the Golden Teacher personality, it was very expansive, very instructive and very gentle. And that's what I wanted. I really didn't want like a hard-hitting teacher with a ruler. I was like, I'm not ready for that. So take that with what you will and or for what it is. And you know, that might be something to consider too if you're starting off and you're not, you know, that's more your style and your speed. Now, let's talk a bit about the dosing. So I use the dosing per Paul Stamets. And if you don't know Paul Stamets and his work, he is an incredible mycologist. He has been doing research on all mushrooms, you know, both psilocybin containing mushrooms and, you know, more food-based supplemental mushrooms like reishi and lion's mane and chaga. So he is, for me, like sort of the foremost like teacher when it comes to mushroom as medicine. So I've been following him for like over a decade. A movie came out that he was featured in is called Fantastic Fungi. I'll include a link, but if you haven't seen that movie yet, you have to watch it. It is mind-blowing. It will really help you understand the field and the work of mushrooms and the scope of which, you know, under which they can really heal the mind, the spirit, and our actual physiology. So based on Paul Sam's extensive research on psychedelic mushrooms, his own personal experience, which for me is very important. Like, I'm not going to take something that someone recommends that they haven't taken themselves. Like, no, thank you. And that includes herbs. Like, don't teach me about an herb unless you've experienced it yourself, because there's an experience and a wisdom that you can only find if you've done it. So Paul, he shares a lot of his stories, and I really appreciate that. So he is my trusted source, and he recommends starting at 0.1 gram up to 0.3 grams. So that's about a tenth of kind of a standard dose of psilocybin-based mushrooms. So you do need to have a really good scale that measures out to like the second decimal place. So like 0.00, it needs to be able to do both of those. And those of you who know the metric system can can remind me what decimal place that is, the second decimal place. So the 10th, I think, you want to be able to go out to, or maybe it's the 100th. No, I guess maybe it's the 100th. Anyway, try to find a scale that goes down to the micrograms and milligrams. And then what you're going to want to start, the recommendation is to start with 0.1 grams and then slowly increase by half. So you might start, and this is what I did. I started off at 0.1, then I went up to 0.15, then I went up to 0.2. And in that experience for me, you know, I weigh like 115 pounds. I'm 5'2", I'm short, I'm small, and I'm sensitive. So for me, I didn't, you know, I wanted to start lower. I know people that are closer to 150 or 200 pounds, going to 0.2 all the way up to 0.3 might be a better dose. But basically what you want to do is start low and then slowly move up until what you can notice is a very subtle, you know, you want to feel the current of the mushrooms sort of in the background, but they're not in the foreground. So with me, 0.1, I did that for maybe about a week. And then I was like, you know, this is good, but I'm curious what 0.15 would feel like. So 0.15 was kind of my sweet spot. And that's where I stayed for the majority of my microdosing adventures. And I microdosed for about, about 3 months. And what I would do is I would do 5 days on, 2 days off, 5 days on, 2 days off. And Paul Stamets, that's what he recommends, is 3 to 5 days per week. Part of the reason for that is because the receptors in your brain start to get flooded. And so then they are not as responsive. They kind of basically get like, they start to build a tolerance for the psilocybin. So if you are taking, you know, 5 days on, 2 days off, or going 3 to 5 days a week, then you're not building up that tolerance level in your brain, which is important because what we're trying to do is build new things, and we're trying to keep that threshold really open so that we can experience the medicine. I did 3 days on, or I sorry, I did 5 days on, 2 days off. Typically, I would take the weekends off and I would take it during the week. And my experience was overall, I definitely noticed a few things. So I wrote these down so that I could remember them to share with you. My first experience was that it was very gentle. And now I have taken therapeutic slash heroic doses of psychedelic mushrooms and other things before. So I definitely know the psychedelic space. Like, I'm very comfortable with it. I've traveled there and back many times. And I knew what to expect. Now, if you've never taken, you know, mushrooms before, you know, take your time. But what you're going to look for is that feeling where, and this is what I experienced, where space and time become a little bit more open, where I became a little bit more self-aware. And that means aware of my physical body, more aware of sensations, of smells, sights. You know, my senses really became heightened. And also just a greater sense of well-being. And that I think one of the things we humans struggle with is feeling separate from God or separate from source or from the greater cosmic web that we're a part of. And what psilocybin does for many people, including myself, is it puts me back in the web and I can see that I'm in the web. And I'm like, I'm okay. You know what, web? You got me. Like, obviously, I still need to pay attention and do the things I have to do to keep myself safe and keep the well-being of my family intact. I mean, that's easy to do. And at the same time, knowing that you are being supported and that there's not so much pressure on you is a huge mood enhancer. And that's what I started to notice as I went up in dose to around 1.5. What, or sorry, 0.15, that's an important difference, 0.15, was that my experience of time and space started to become way more open. And I started to notice that I actually, you know, when we talk about this in yoga a lot, I taught yoga for 20 years. And in yoga, what we're really trying to do with our consciousness is open up the space between the event and our response. So that when someone says something to you, you're not going from that impulsive primal reaction, which can sometimes, you know, come from our wounds. But when we start to experience time and space as more open, we can actually experience a little more trust in life and in the process of communicating with others. So that when someone says something or an event happens, you know, you can take an extra beat, an extra breath, an extra moment and say, let me just gather all the information and make and have a response that is probably going to be from my higher mind, my higher self, from a place of greater integration. So rather than having a trauma response, I am going to have a more integrated, holistic response to what's going on. And I, hands down, experienced that microdosing expanded that space between an event and my response. And the cool thing about it was that with this enhanced awareness and presence that the psilocybin gives the brain, and the more it's, you know, it's again, it's creating more connections in the brain, that I was able to notice something, see how, like in an instant, I could see how my normal response might go. But then I was able to take a moment and say, well, how do I want to respond? What is actually the best response in this situation for all beings, myself, my kids, my husband, the dogs? Like, what is the most mindful response that I can bring into this next moment? And again, it happens like this. It's like just you get a little extra space, but all of that thinking and reasoning and contemplating happens. You don't need much space for all of that to happen and then to choose a new way of responding. That was, I think, one of the greatest gifts of my microdosing adventure, was getting the time to notice how I could do things differently, how I could make new choices and create new habits and new patterns. And my friend, she's an incredible therapist. You can follow her on Instagram. She's called the Hardcore Therapist because she's also into hardcore music and supports a lot of people in the hardcore music scene with their mental health struggles, which is super cool. Anyway, she posted something on her Instagram stories recently, which is like, you know, a new thought creates a new image, which creates a new action, which creates a new habit, which creates a new pattern, which eventually becomes who you are. I was like, yes. And so we can think about in those spaces where we can see the full scope of that moment and the implications of every response or reaction we could have. And we choose the one that we think is going to be the most supportive, helpful, and healthy. Then we start to create new neural pathways of behavior. And then they start to become more of who we are. And it becomes easier the next time the child says that mean thing or wants to elicit a reaction. You know, every time I see that pattern happening again and I choose not A or B, which are my default, but I choose C. And I notice that when I choose C, my child relaxes and is curious. And then she changes her behavior. Then every time that keeps happening, I keep going, okay, C, C, C. And I keep making that pathway stronger. And that starts to change the world around me. I mean, it's a very holographic universe we live in. And it's actually pretty amazing how simple it is if we have the tools. And I really do think that microdosing is a tool. It is an incredible life hack tool that our ancestors have been using. And even animals use, you know, deer, reindeer, rabbits, they are utilizing these fungi to help them learn new ways of living as well. So let me tell you, I wanted to tell you three stories about my experience with microdosing. The first one was, it happened maybe about 3 weeks into my microdosing experience. And I have this, you know, I have to wake up my kids for school in the morning, and any other parents who have to do that, it is, it's a whole thing. It's a whole world. And what my pattern used to be was, okay, good morning, open up the shades, maybe say some nice things. And, you know, it's gentle, but I'm like, you know, and then slowly the intensity gets up. It's like, okay, it's time to get up. It's time to get up until I've thrown all the lights on and I'm yelling at them like, you need to get out of bed. We're going to be late. This already took too long. And then I go into a tailspin of lateness and hurry and rushing and stress. And the kids are now stressed. I'm now stressed. No one is happy. And then we're late for school. So what I noticed in the presence of the mushrooms during the week was that I was like, the things I needed to get done in the morning happened a little bit more smoothly. So when it went time to go wake up the kids, I was a little bit earlier and I felt like there was a little more space. And so slowly I just started being a little more gentle because I noticed that my kids, it's not that they didn't want to wake up. It's that their bodies needed more time to wake up, and they needed to wake up not just by hearing my voice. They needed my touch. And so I would sit and I'd rub their back, and that started helping them wake up, and I would just start talking with them. And that was something different. And then when I was brushing their hair, you know, rather than like brush, 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 because we got to go, you know, and then my 5-year-old screaming because her hair, she's got a super sensitive scalp, which is a thing. So I have to be very gentle, but when I'm feeling rushed, I don't have the time, right? Like, again, my perception is like, got to get it brushed. Sorry, you're going to scream because you got to get tougher hair. And then, you know, but in the presence of the mushrooms, it was like, no, that's not kind. You don't feel good doing that. And she doesn't feel good doing that. So take a little extra time. And guess what? It all happens, you know, it appears as though it's going to take longer to get all the little knots from the ends out and to curl it under just so the way she likes it. But actually, if I take my time and do that, and she doesn't get upset, then I'm not spending 5 minutes trying to bring her out of being upset, which is wasting time. So it's like, oh, it's actually an investment. I'm paying it forward by brushing her hair gently and avoiding the tantrum. That actually makes everything go smoother, because then the battle between her and I, which would happen, and then the battle to eat your food faster, get your shoes on faster, all that was removed because I never let the first battle happen. We were on the same page. I was on her team from the beginning. And I was like, this is so much better. and then another thing, I was like, I remember when they were babies and I would hold them in my arms and I would wake them up very, very gently just by rocking them. And then I started doing that and like just being like, they're only going to be little for a very little amount of time. So let me just hold my, let me lift my baby out of bed and say, oh, my sweet little summies, and kiss her head and rock her and pet her hair and just, you know, very gently hum to her, just like she did when she was little, because she still is little. Like it was like, yeah, she still needs that level of comfort and attention to bring her out of the dream state and dream world into this other world that I'm now asking her to come into. And so basically through the course of those 3 months, there were a lot of other small micro moments that led to me having a way better experience. And now we get to school on time. So, you know, and those changes persisted because they became habits and then they became me. So that was a huge one. Another story of a little bit of a microdose mishap was I had taken a few weeks off and then I started up again, and I had taken, I was like, well, I'll take three, which is 0.2 grams. And, I went to a meeting and everything was fine at the meeting. I was definitely like, I think more aware of the energy of like, exchanges. And I had some really good insights and downloads about my own behavior. And so I shared that at the meeting, and that was all pretty good. And then I went to the gym to work out. And this is where things got a little bit like, I was like, oh, I think that's too much for me. So I, you know, at the gym, I am like, you know, observing everyone, observing me. And it was just, I was like, you know what? I'm feeling a little bit vulnerable here. Like, because I could feel and perceive were all these little microaggressions, which, you know, I mean, I'm a double Taurus, sun and moon Taurus, and I got three planets in Aries. And so that Aries energy protects me a lot because I really don't care what people think about me most of the time. Like, I just walk through the world doing my own thing, being kind. Like my Cancer rising, if someone needs help, like I'm there. But in terms of like what people think about me, like I'm a little dense, and that can be actually a fault. I can be a little bit dense to other people's perceptions and needs. And so when I was at the gym and I was just feeling all these people walk by, and I could see through there, I could see them judging me and thinking things about me. Now, I just want to say, like, it doesn't make you psychic. Like, I couldn't tell what they were thinking, but I could read their body language like really well and be like, oh, wow. And just, I did not, it was not an enjoyable workout experience because of that. Just feeling the way in the gym culture, a lot of people just judge each other and like have all these, you know, and I just was realizing, gosh, I don't know. I didn't even notice this was happening at the gym because I'm in my own bubble so often. But the upside was that while I was doing my cardio, I was listening to Deepak Chopra, and he's an incredible thinker. And so I definitely had some like wonderful big, you know, thoughts and ideas that came through that part of the experience. But after that, I was like, you know, I'm gonna dial it back because I don't like being that vulnerable to other people's eyes, right? So that was my experience of going too high. And then the other thing I wanted to share, which was really, really helpful, was noticing my body's energy changes. And so what one thing that the micro dosing really helped me to do was to assess where, not where I want to be with my energy, but where I actually was. So for example, you know, I had been out running errands all day, got the kids ready for school, did my workout. I came home and I really wanted to work on, you know, preparing something for work. And I sat down and I got my notebook out and I was like, okay, what am I going to write about? What am I going to, you know, what is this going to be on? And all of a sudden, like this voice, which I think is the mushroom, was like, you need to not do this. You need to just close your eyes for a few minutes and rest. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm exhausted. Like somehow, you know, I got all of these things done, but like, there was like this little voice that was like, no, put the book down. Like, this is not the moment. You will have the moment. But I promise you, if you close your eyes and lay on the couch for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever your body needs to recharge, that energy you need will be there and you won't have to push for it. And I was like, yeah, thank you. And so I did that. And then I didn't set an alarm. I just laid there until I was like, okay, I'm done lying here. I feel better. And then the idea of what I needed to write about was like right there. And I was like, oh, and then I just did it really, really fast. And it was like, I was in the flow again. And so that is just one example, but that would happen to me a lot where I would realize, you know what? I need to stop, Ashley. You need to stop because, you know, I think one of the things that I would recognize with the microdosing was that I had so much information coming in and we all need time to just process that, like to have like a still moment. And so I found myself taking micro breaks throughout the day just to like step outside, take the dog out for a few minutes, even take a short walk. Like, okay, you need integration time before you can do the next thing. You need to just integrate, recalibrate, check in, reassess, you know, take your nervous system down a few notches and then see what you can do, you know, before you just jump in. And so that has been a very, very valuable lesson. And last week's talk, I spoke about the Aboriginal Australian view of space and time. And I do really think that my experience with microdosing was like part of this journey for me of better understanding space and what space is and how space heals and how time works actually, not the way I think time should work or the way that society, as Adam says, society tells us time is supposed to be, the actual experience of time. Like, what is my actual experience of time and how do I want it to feel? And, you know, what ways can I utilize time and space more efficiently? So all things that the microdosing helped me with. And I just want to say this too, like as someone who practiced and studied yoga for 20 plus years and didn't do any sort of psychedelics during that time, I do think there's tons of mindfulness practices like meditation and yoga and, you know, Vipassana. I mean, there's so many Tai Chi, right? There are so many things that can also bring you into these spaces. And microdosing is just one tool. So I don't want to, I'm not saying here that microdosing is the only thing that can do that. No, there's a lot of other tools that humans have discovered and have used for thousands of years to give us similar results. And I'm a cosmonaut who wants to try them all. I'm curious. I want to know. So I do want to say though that this might not be for everyone and that there are a lot of other ways you can gather this type of information. Now let's talk a little bit about the research. There's mixed research out there. And Paul Stamets was part of he wrote a paper with some other scientists in Nature magazine, which is a very high level publication. And I read the article and, you know, one of the things that was really interesting is that they tried to do they studied several cross-sectional studies. And what they found was that people who'd microdosed, they had perceived improvements in mood, cognitive function, and reductions in stress, anxiety, and depression. These are self-reported studies. They tried to replicate these studies using placebo, where they're trying to rule out, okay, what is perceived benefits and what are actual benefits. And, you know, it's interesting that there wasn't a humongous difference, you know, and this is what we find. Placebo is amazing. Placebo, I think, is an underutilized medicine. But this is why also one of my teachers at Thai Sophia, Bob Duggan, would say, it's not the herb, it's not the acupuncture needle, it's the word. If you can find the right word and match it with the medicine or the herb, that's the healing. So much of healing we know comes from the words that are spoken and the perceptions around the medicines that we take. And so, you know, when someone takes a placebo and they don't know if it's the actual mushroom or not, part of it is the implication of it possibly being a mushroom. That word, that impulse that it could be is powerful and improves outcomes. So that's amazing. And they did find statistical, you know, there was statistical significance in people that did take the microdosing over those who did not, showing that it did improve perceived mood and cognition. They did find that it tended to improve like tapping results or like a motor neuron response more in people under the age of 55 than it did in people over the age of 55. I'm curious about that. I don't know exactly why. They don't know exactly why. And really at the end of their study, they said, we need more studies. You know, they were like, this is just the beginning of what we need to start looking at. One thing that I thought was interesting from their study was that females that tended to have higher microdose related reductions in depression. Now, we don't know why, but I thought that was really interesting. They also did some studies where they looked at stacking psilocybin microdosing with niacin and lion's mane mushroom. And they didn't find that it actually made that much of a difference in terms of cognition and motor neuron functioning. Although we do know that these two on their that we do know that lion's mane on its own definitely is helpful with cognition enhancing. But, you know, for me, I'm like a one herb, one mushroom at a time kind of person. Like I kind of don't want to mix too many messengers in. So I didn't stack it. I just used the Golden Teacher on its own. And, you know, I think there's more research to be done on how you can stack niacin, which increases blood flow to the brain, and lion's mane, which increases neuroplasticity in the brain with these psychedelic mushrooms. However, there have been studies that have shown that when you stack lion's mane with niacin, you do have increased outcomes in rebuilding and enhancing brain function and actually increasing brain cell production, which is pretty incredible. I'll include some links for you all in the description if you want to read this article and learn more. I'll include links to Paul Stamets' work. And as always, I am open to your questions that don't get me in trouble, but I'd love to share any experiences I have. Oh, I was going to share some experiences of friends. Okay, so let me just do this and then we'll close it out. So I have a friend who is a few years older than me, and he tried microdosing for several months. And he definitely also noticed that his ability to relate to other people and his empathy really increased. And his brother even said to him, he goes like, I don't know what's different with you, man, but like, I feel like you're really like our relationship has definitely improved because I feel like you're just kind of a different person with me now. And his brother didn't know that he was microdosing, but my friend was like, definitely, I noticed that I'm able to be way more present with people. And therefore, I'm able to be a better brother or a better friend or a better father because I am able to be more empathetically connected. So that was his experience, which I thought was really cool. I had another friend who noticed that it really improved learning outcomes. Like when it came to studying new information, she found that she was able to understand the information and it was actually able, she was able to retain that information in at higher levels. Like it actually stuck more. So in terms of her being able to grasp new concepts and language, it really improved her ability to do that because it gave her a wider network by which to understand the importance of the information. I was like, oh, that's really cool. So I think that's enough, right? Like, I think you have a good sense of what this can do. Also what it can't do, it's not going to fix all of your problem. It's not a magic pill that changes everything in your life, but it can certainly help when done in the right way. And when given, I think, a chance to really help influence you to see the world around you in a more expanded and supportive way, right? Taking the burden off of you to try to fix everything and letting something, an altered state or letting an I would say another being. That's the way that I perceive it. Like letting someone else come in and teach you new ways of seeing the world. So let me know what you think. Let me know your questions, your thoughts. If you've had any experiences with microdosing, please leave them in the comments because that's going to also help other people in their journey and their adventure with these amazing teachers. So thank you all, and I'll see you all again soon.